Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome to Sunday morning service. Again, it's great to be in the house of the Lord, and you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we were worshiping, I just kept thinking, it's like he's just walking among us. You can just feel him moving in the place as you worship, and you can literally feel his presence, and we know that he's here by invitation. He's here because we invite him to come. He came here with you. He came here with me, and I'm so thankful for that. And everything that's going on, you can come out tonight and hear a good word tonight. And so we would invite you to do that. If you've never been to a Sunday night, tonight should be your night. You should come and see what's going on. And then, of course, tomorrow's Monday night. But enough of the announcements. We're going to be sharing a message this morning on the topic of fear not, I am with you. And it seems so simple, but here's the thing. I want to set a little bit of a foundation for this because, first of all, anything God gives us is to be stewarded well, whether it's finances, whether it's our time, whatever it is. And fear is an emotion, and it's not necessarily a bad emotion. It's like other emotions. It can be used for good or bad. The fear of the Lord, which is fear just means respect. And we know that we need to steward them. It is okay to have fear. It is not okay for fear to have you or to rule over you. Because when it does, it becomes a spirit of fear. It is, in other words, it's okay for you to be concerned and even fearful if you should drive by the sign that says steep cliff ahead. It is not okay for you to be afraid to drive, period, is it? There is a difference. We need to understand that. And we live in this world today in the end times, the last of the last days, the end times, even in the last hours, if you will. And it's so easy to become anxious. Do you know that today doctors and psychiatrists treat more people for panic, anxiety, phobias, and fears than anything else, than any physical illness out there? Fear has gripped people. And it, you know, even this COVID thing, all of it. But here's what Philippians 4:6-7 says. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation or circumstance, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, give your request to God. And the peace of God, which is greater than all of these situations that you are worried about, will guard your heart, will protect your heart, and will guard your mind, your mental health in Christ Jesus. I am so thankful. You know, there's another verse, Pastor Ken, that's 1 Peter, you know, 5:6-7 that says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt, which is just lift you up. We're not the ones that are exalted. That's God. He will lift you up in due time, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. We could kind of go home now, right? We're just going to cast our cares on God. That's what we're going to all do, right? We just get humble and cast your cares on God. Let me tell you something. That's a lot easier said and quoted than it is done, isn't it? Be honest. Be honest. Have you ever got really, really bad news? I can remember the day I got the news that when my grandson called just screaming, his dad is dead. Let me tell you something. Just humble yourself, Pam, and just give it to Jesus. I could not hardly, the panic was unreal. Let me tell you, if we're going to do that, first of all, I'm going to tell you about me. Maybe this isn't you. Maybe you can't relate to this at all. If so, just ignore me. I am a worrier by nature. It's my superpower. I worry about things. And here's the thing. If I find myself having a wonderful, wonderful week or year, and I'm not worried about anything and everything's going good, then I move on to worry about Pastor Ken, what's going on in his life. I will worry about you. I will find something to worry about. And that's how the enemy does us. So for the Bible to be anxious, say, be anxious for nothing,
I'm going to need some assistance here. I'm going to need somebody to help me not panic and fear. And thank goodness it's the person who walked in the room today, the Holy Spirit of God. I am so thankful.
By the way, I really enjoyed the worship today.
Oh, me too.
I always do, though. I just always like to say that. It's just, amazing. Y'all, heavenly choir, we got to have tryouts. I'm definitely going to ask God if I can be on the worship team. I don't know how that works, but if there's a sign-up sheet, I'm going to get signed up. David will be my supervisor. He can teach me some things. So, but fear is not a superpower. It's kryptonite. Fear is the thing that weakens us. I was thinking about fear, and the Bible actually tells us there's something we should fear. It says, fear not man who can, but fear God who can throw you into hell. We should fear separation from God. That's the only thing we should fear. Because what can man do to us? What can Satan do to us? He gives his angels charge over us. I don't even believe that I can die until it's my time to die.
That's right.
You know, I believe that as long as I'm close to the shepherd. That's the thing. The sheep are protected as long as they're close to the shepherd. Of course, when you run away from the shepherd, you're kind of on your own. But as long as you stay close to him, then he's close to you, and his rod and staff are now within throwing range. He can protect you. So I do fear separation from God. We should have a holy fear of that. The regret. Can you imagine the regret of being in hell, especially with the parable that Jesus told about that he could look across the gulf and see what he was missing? So not only being in hell, but knowing you weren't supposed to be there. And that will be our thought. If you were in hell, your first thought would be, I don't belong here. And you would be right, because we have an invitation for heaven. But thinking about the fact that we should fear God, let's be realistic. Don't you agree that from Christmas to Christmas does not take 12 months? It takes just a few weeks.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's Christmas again?
Yeah.
It's your birthday again?
Yeah.
It's like the years just fly by. So realistically, not to be morbid, but I'm 62. So I could reasonably say that there's a 98% probability that sometime in the next 30 Christmases that I will see God. That, and it could be before then. It could be tonight. But even if you give me that I'm going to live to be 100 or whatever, that's still so short. That's just a few Christmases. So we do need to be ready for this. What's happening with the world is, they are doing their best to be removed from God, and we're doing our best to do the opposite. Notice how the world is allergic to Jesus. They're allergic to the idea of people being in love with God and being in love with Jesus. But while the world distances themselves from God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the cross and the blood, and they distance themselves from anything that has to do with Jesus, we are doing the opposite. Because I tell you that your entire future is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. This is not about theology. This is about having a relationship with God, loving God. And when we talk about the presence of God, which is really the only way to not have that fear, is to have a revelation that God is with you. You don't have to look for God. You don't. So diversity among people. If you have a group of more than one, there's diversity. There's differences. And we're sometimes shocked by the differences between us, right? Like I met a guy the other day, and he said he was a Christian, and we were going, and he said he was a Green Bay Packer fan. And I just could not wrap my head around that difference. Like, but how could those two things go together? Now, we laugh about that, but you say, why are you even making that joke? Because it's not a joke, because when it comes to other differences, you like candidate Smith, and you're a Christian, but you like Smith, you don't like Jones. But here's the thing about the differences that is so amazing. as human beings, we have so much more in common than you would ever have difference. And so I was thinking about this. I like to think about, and by the way, did you realize that the greatest scientific studies that's ever been made has not been made necessarily in the laboratory, but it's come by men and women thinking about it. The Einstein's greatest revelations came when he was just thinking about them. He just had thought. So I'm thinking about all the things we have in common. Now check this out. What is it that we believe? Why are we here today? We believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the first thing we have in common. What else do we have in common? We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the cross. We believe in the blood. We believe in heaven. We believe in hell. We believe in a father. We believe in a future. Those are the things that bind us together, and the presence of God is something that you can carry with you. And last week I shared with you a revelation that I got about myself, that I have been waiting for God to come and attach himself to me, kind of putting it on God. God, if you want to walk with me and be, you want me to be anointed, then I was almost thinking that the Holy Spirit would tackle me and handcuff himself to me and say, you're mine now, you were handcuffed. But the Lord showed me that it's like if you join up with a friend and you decide to go somewhere together. It's just like that. You keep track of one another, right? If you go to a store with someone, you kind of keep track of them. Even if you go to another aisle, it's like, where are they at? If you drive together to a store with someone, you intend to leave together to that store. And you look for one another, right? So this is simple. I know this, but I believe it's also deep. I believe it's a revelation from God. If you want to walk in the presence of God, make sure you bring the Holy Spirit with you when you go. Look for him. Make sure that you're going together. You're traveling together. God is not a man, and he is walking with us. And Pam, you quoted all those scriptures on the peace of God. The peace of God. And all that is, and I like what you said about it's one thing to try to lay down our burdens, but it seems like it's hard to stay at that place, to lay it on the altar and to quit picking it up and to quit worrying. The peace of God.
There's two parts to the scripture. Peace, there's a scripture in John 14 and 27 that says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, which is temporary, give I you. That's God's part. The second part of that is my part. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it. Don't allow your heart to become terrorized. The word isn't just fear. The word here in the Greek is terrorized. Let your heart not be tormented. Let it not be terrorized, because I've given you my peace. This isn't a peace because of the circumstance. It's a peace in spite of the circumstance that you're in. Jesus calls himself what? The Prince of Peace. So we don't just need peace. We need a supernatural peace. And this world has peace when and if there's nothing wrong. But we can have peace when and if there is something wrong. You know, the world will tell you, I have peace because my bank account is six figures. I have peace because I just got a promotion. That's all temporary. But they don't have peace in their heart. Peace in the storm. They don't have the confidence that, like the song that Tony sings and Willie, I've got a promise that everything will work out right. I can have the peace of God no matter what situation I'm in. It's not always easy to take authority over yourself and to claim that peace. I had to claim that peace one night at McNeil when they had Kathy Ferland in that operating room and they were saying that she may not come out of there. I watched that door. I would pace and watch that door and tell myself, you must trust me. And that was God telling me that. And I want to tell you something else. If we allow ourselves to not steward the emotion of fear, fear can make a bad situation worse. I read a story that I thought was absolutely heartbreaking. It was a story of a father who ran
over his child with his truck. He realized that he had ran over the child. It turned out to be his leg. He ran over the child. So in his fear, he backed up and ran over the child again. You know, we can do the wrong things. It can paralyze us. It can cause us, fear affects you physically. It can cause you to have a cardiac. Remember recently the man that in the story of Uvalde, that his wife, I believe she was a teacher, was one of the ones who was shot and killed. He had a heart attack. What do you think caused his heart attack? It was just the overwhelming sorrow, grief, and fear. And fear can make your bad situation so much worse. It can affect you physically. But peace, and you've probably heard this, but I want to say it again. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. It is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. He said, I am with you. I remember keeping my granddaughter Hope one stormy night. It was awful. And it wasn't long until I was awakened and she was standing by my bed and I did not have to ask, why are you here? I knew full well. It was lightning. You could hear the wind beating against the house. And she was so afraid. And make it stop. I can't stand it. And I said, I don't know if God is going to make it stop right away, but I'm going to come with you. I went to her room. I laid down beside her, and I started talking to her. I said, Hope, I have lived for 57 years. I have seen many storms, even storms worse than this. And this storm will pass. God will take the storm away in his time. And we watched it track on the phone. And then I kept telling her and talking to her. And in a few minutes, the storm did not go away. But Hope went to sleep. Hope went to sleep. Was that because the storm went away? No, it's because I was present with her. So in the storms of life, I call on the Lord and say, if you can't make the storm go away, then give me peace in the storm. When my father was with me, I was never afraid. If I'm standing near, our friend Jessica's coming to town tomorrow, when I'm standing near Tyreek, I promise you, I am not afraid. You know, it's the presence. But we need that childlike faith. There are, you know, children don't worry about how's the light bill going to get paid? Is there going to be enough food to eat? Is the car going to crash? Is my dad going to always take care of me? And you know what? Are we not children of God? How many times? I think I'm going to hand this to Ken, but I think that we have a short-term memory when it comes to the goodness of God. Come on, be honest. We have a short-term memory when it comes to the times that God has brought us through and he's rescued us. And the Brooklyn Tabernacle, nobody sings it better than the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Didn't I wake you up this morning? Didn't I step right in on time when the bill needed paid? Said, how many times, they sing, must I rescue you from trouble before you know how much I care for you? Let's remember, even if we have to write it down all the times, that God has brought us through, and that helps us not be afraid today and have peace.
So God is both our protector and our provider. And if God's going to provide us for us, and if he's going to protect us, we do not need to fear. God knows that we're human. He knows that we're frail, and he does not hold that weakness against us. And you shouldn't hold that weakness against yourself either. The fact that you are weak just means that you can lean on a God who's very strong. He's a very present help in our time of need. So actually you couldn't embrace your weakness. As the song says, I am weak, but he is strong. He's your defender. He's your ever-present help. He is your protection. He gives his angels charge over you. So that this means in times of trouble, that his presence will remain with us. That could be a sermon title, Hope Went to Sleep. Because Jesus went to sleep in the boat, right? Hope went to sleep. That's what worry stays up all night and worries, but hope goes to sleep and sleeps soundly because they know that God is there. I like thunderstorms. Years ago, I was flying with an instructor in a twin-engine plane. And we were going a few states over. We were on a long distance haul, and it was night. It was about 11 o'clock at night. So it's completely dark, and we got caught in a thunderstorm. So here we are in this small plane at 6,000 feet. It's completely dark out. There's rain, so a loud rain hitting the airplane, and all around us was lightning flashes. Right to the left was lightning, to the right was lightning. The plane was being bounced around. And all I could think of is, this is so cool. You know, you say, but why weren't you just terrified? Because I was tired of looking at the TV and looking at fake life. And this was really happening. I was really in that plane, and just a few inches away from me was death, you know, and all this stuff was happening. You know, I told you before that John G. Lake, the book he wrote was called Adventures in God, and I've always loved that because I believe that if you are connected with God and if you carry the presence of God with you, you're going to have some adventures. I'm talking about day-to-day adventures. Hey, the disciples, hey, remember the time? Remember the time we did this? Remember the time we did that? Remember the time you and Jesus and Peter and Paul and we did this and we did that and we saw this and we saw that? That's a lot better than being at home, right? Let me tell you about the time I was in the lightning storm. Let me tell you about the time we were in the boat and we thought we were going to die and Jesus was there. See, those are all adventures. God, Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Although the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the sea, the reason we don't fear, as Pam said, peace is not the absence of problems, it's the presence of God. You can have fear in a peaceful situation, or you can have peace in a stressful situation. It's all your attitude. It's all your revelation, knowing that God is our help. If God is for you, then it does not matter who is against you.
We're all going to be tempted to fear at some time in our life because we all have trouble in this life, right? It may be a fear of a sickness or a disease. It may be, look at the fear that gripped our nation concerning COVID. And I'm not saying that there was no such thing as COVID. Oh, no, no, no. I've been there, done that already. But to be afraid, like Ken said, we're only going to die once in our life. Do we protect ourselves? Yes. Do we use wisdom? Yes. But we do not allow ourselves to get gripped by fear, but we're all going to be tempted by fear. And that's why the Bible says approximately 365 times or more, some say 365, one for every day, but there's actually more come to find out. The Bible says to fear not, do not fear. And again, it's easier said than done. But so many people become anxious and fearful, and it's a human response. But here's the thing. So many things that we fear, they never are going to happen. I fear such and such a disease. That may never happen to me. I fear car accident. That may never happen to me. So why should I waste my time fearing things that have not even happened? You know, And I can't throw any stones. Fear is a weapon of the enemy when he tempts you to be in terror. I personally have thought more than on one occasion that there was a killer in my basement. He usually comes at night, Ken, like when Dave's on an overnight. That's when he comes. And he starts by kind of banging on the furnace down there. I hear the banging first. And I'm sure he's on his way upstairs. He's just waiting. He's banging and he's waiting and I hear the wind blowing and I just can imagine him coming up the stairs. He's never come. He's never come. It was for nothing. I wasted time thinking
can I get to the gun? There's a gun in my closet. Could I get the gun? Then I start thinking, could I pull the trigger? Would I have the strength to pull the trigger? Would I be shaking? You know, could I see him? You know, and I got this whole scenario going for an unfounded fear from the pit of hell. I could have just went to sleep. Should I get up and go to the bathroom, or will he grab me in the hallway? You know, but here's the thing. Those are unfounded things, and we need to say, in the name of Jesus, I trust God. This will not happen. This cannot happen because God has given me a promise. But what if you're in a situation, you find yourself in a real situation, a Joseph situation? Let me set you up for this one. Life was good, Joseph. I had it all. I was daddy's favorite. I was the youngest. I was loved by everybody, I thought. I thought I was loved by everybody. I know I was loved by my father. I had these amazing dreams. They weren't nightmares. They were dreams. And then life took an ominous turn. Life happened. And here's what Acts 7:9 says. And the patriarchs, who were Joseph's sons, boiling with envy and hatred and anger, that, by the way, Joseph really knew nothing about, sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. And the verse doesn't end there. It says, there's five more words, but God was with him. But God was with him. That's what the verse said. No matter what happens, no matter who comes against you, you may be afraid of your haters out there. He was blindsided. He was hated. They were jealous. They were envious. You had this new coat handmade just for you, and they want to kill you for no reason at all. But God was with him. But God was with him. Do you know that God is with us? I don't know what we're going to face in the days ahead. I don't know if COVID will raise its ugly head again. I don't know what could possibly go wrong. I know in this world we have trouble. I don't know if there's going to be a COVID of 22 or if the killer hornets are coming this year. I do not know. But I absolutely know that their poison can't hurt me because God is with me. They could come, Kent. They could come.
We have to go on a little bunny trail here for a second. We have to go on a little bunny trail here. So your story about being afraid of someone in the basement, and you would hear the noises and stuff.
Yeah.
You ever hear that scripture, you reap what you sow? Yeah. You so deserve that. I am so happy to hear that she was. let me tell you, I'm like 9 years old. No, you're so busted. There's a reason that she was afraid. It's because of what she did. So at 9 years old, she came up and told me about the creature that lived in the basement. She told, his name was Bloody Bones, and she said, if, and she was so serious, she said, at night, if you listen, you can hear him coming up the stairs because he's coming up for you. So what she just described was what she told me as a child and all those fears. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It is unfounded fears, and the truth is, and I can honestly say I have completely lost my fear of the dark, completely. And that's a Geiger counter. If the Geiger counter is going off, there's radiation. If the fear meter is going off, that tells you there's something wrong because there is nothing there. No, that's not true. Let me tell you what's in the dark. Mm-hmm. The presence of the living God is in the dark. So I want to go back to this revelation that I had, that the presence of God is something you invite him and you keep him. It's not something that God has to do. It's something that he comes by invitation. It's something you make sure. In other words, if you drove here with someone, you're not going to drive out without them today, right? You know that they're supposed to be with you. You're going to look for them and go, hey, get in the car. Let's go. You have to do that with the Holy Spirit. Make sure the Holy Spirit. Well, they left Ari there. So, and many times we leave the Holy Spirit and we don't That's the thing. We don't know that we left the Holy Spirit, and so we start looking for the Holy Spirit and going, anybody seen Ari? Now let's talk a minute about some other adventurers. Job. Do you think Job has some stories, some adventures? What about Joseph, which as a child, that was my favorite Bible story about all the adventures that Joseph got into. And don't you know that when Joseph got older, he was just could tell the tales. Yeah. Let me tell you about the time I was 16. Now, this is a good story if you never heard it. And then he can say, did I ever tell you about the time I became ruler of Egypt? See, it was adventures in God. Did I ever tell you about the time I had this dream and then this guy got his head? Adventures in God. I had this dream and I met my brothers and I was ruler of Egypt. And he's got some stories. He didn't just sit home and watch TV. He had these stories because he was walking with God. And if you and I will walk with God, you're going to have some adventures. Acts, the 7th chapter, the 10th verse. And God delivered Joseph from all his distressing afflictions. By the way, all those things are just stories that Joseph has now. And won him goodwill and favor and wisdom and understanding in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who made him governor over Egypt and all of his house. So the same God that delivered Joseph will deliver you and I. The same God that did all those miracles, he's the same. He has not changed. And the great thing about those stories that you have is they're not just your stories. Those are you and God's stories. Peter can say, hey, Jesus, remember the time? And she said, oh, yeah, Peter, I remember that. The same is happening in your life. And you say to the Holy Spirit, remember that time we went on that mission trip? Remember that time we went to the hospital? Remember that time I was in that accident? Remember that time and all the testimonies and all the things, all the times you were with Jesus in the storm. So, and I've told this story before, but I wanted to give it as another illustration. So when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my father was the superintendent of the railroad, he was the boss, he was in charge. Wherever he went, he was in charge. And one night, I don't know why I was riding with him, but I was riding with him in his railroad vehicle, which he had radios in there, and there came a call that there was an emergency. There was a train that was on fire, and it was burning. And Dad began to, because there was an emergency, he started running red lights, and he was speeding. Now, what do you do when you're in a car, and all of a sudden it's speeding, and you're running lights? The thought occurred to me, this is so cool. So we get to the accident site, and there's a fire burning, and there's police cars, and there's sirens going, and there's radios, and Dad's barking orders, and people are afraid that there's going to be an explosion. And in the middle of all that fear and panic, all I could think of is, this is so cool. And then I saw my father, and the firemen were afraid to get their fire trucks close to the train because it was on fire, but they needed to get there because who knows what's in those cars? There's chemicals and things that if it blows up. So everyone was terrified. And so in the middle of all that terror, my father started running towards the fire, towards the train, and no one was doing anything. And he jumped up on this train where the engine was, and he started up the train, and he began to move it so that the train was moving away from the fire, which would allow the firemen to go in. And the point of that story is that when you go with your father, when you travel with your father, things might be falling apart. There might be fires to your left and sirens going off and people are afraid and you're just sitting back going, this is so cool. What God is doing, I'm watching what God is doing. God is on to lose the fear and to say like John G. Lake, this is an adventure in God. And I'll tell you, this is the way I think about it, Pam. When you're walking with God, anything could happen. anything could happen. The most wildest testimony, you just have to be walking with God. And so I just want to go with God everywhere that I go. And the last thing I'll say is this. Whatever battle you're going through, do it with God. Don't do it by yourself. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Sit back and watch what God will do. Come on, you're at the Red Sea. You're like, we are trapped. And there's someone going, this is going to be the most exciting day you've ever had. You're going to be, because you're, this is going to be amazing. Because you go, God does that, right? Why does God do it? I don't know. He's a showman. He likes to come in at the last minute. He likes to raise Lazarus from the dead, not cure him of a flu, but instead raise him from the dead. I don't know. It's showmanship. It shows his power. He likes to call down the fire at the last minute and the 400 prophets against Elijah. But every time, those stories, those were weak men that trusted God and went with God, and women, and amazing things happened. Fear not, for I am with you. Lose the fear and embrace the adventure of what God's going to do.
He truly is a show-up God and a show-off God. He shows up every time, and he shows off in the best of ways because he is God. He will show himself great in your situation. I'll say this again. The enemy cannot take you out 1 second before it is your time. That's why you can have peace with God. There, he tried so hard to take Job out. He wanted to so bad get rid of Job. He wanted so badly to get rid of Joseph. They even had a discussion about killing him. The enemy, but he cannot. You know, one of the revelations that I had was concerning the verse, give no place to the enemy. I do not spend time at his place. I don't give him place in my life. If there is somebody you know is dangerous, you don't put yourself in their presence. You don't invite them to your house. You don't invite a killer to your house, do you? And say, come on in. But by disobedience, sometimes we have given the devil place in our lives. In other words, we've given him an opportunity. We need not to do that. We need to trust in the Lord. You know, I love the scripture that says, cast your cares on God, because it reminded me of the time when Dave was trying, he's never been successful, to teach me how to cast a fishing rod. I have tried, but he would say, swing it as far as you can, let it go. That's the picture I get when it says, cast your cares on God. Throw it as far as you can get it to go into the lake or the ocean. And I love that picture. He says, cast your cares. Psalm 34:4 says this, and this is another of my favorite. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. Seek the Lord. And he heard me. And he delivered me. He heard me the first time I called on him, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Why does it say from my, why doesn't it just say, and he delivered me from my fear? Because I had a lot of fears, all of my fears. My fear of COVID, my fear of cancer, my fear of having a car accident, my fear that my relationships won't work out. He delivered me from all of my fears. I'm telling you that fear will paralyze you, and what it does is it stops you. A paralyzed person can't do anything. They can't move. If your fear paralyzes you, you just literally, have you ever been in a situation like that where you are just paralyzed? You cannot move at all. That's the place. That's what the devil wants to do to us. And it keeps us from living an abundant life, a joy-filled life. And here I'm going to say this one more time. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the three Hebrew children who trusted God. And this is how the situation goes. And this is what touches my heart so much. It's a little speech that one of them made. They were going to be thrown into the fire, not because they did anything wrong. They were like you. They were in church on Sunday. They were three of them. Pick three of them. Janice, Miriam, and Frida. You're in church on Sunday, and you've done nothing wrong, but you're going to go through a fire, all three of you. And they knew. And here's what they said. They said, we trust the Lord. Our God, he will deliver us. They knew he was a deliverer. But my favorite part of that speech is this. But if I hold out the possibility that things in my situation may not always turn out like I want them to. Do you understand that? That things don't always turn out like you want them to. But if he does not choose to deliver me, I will never bow before you. You will get no glory from this Satan whatsoever because I don't intend to bow. I don't intend to bow. Let's stand and go before the Lord. Father, we thank you that you give us peace that passes understanding. Lord, we don't know hardly how you can do this, but you do because you're the Prince of Peace. It comes from you. Father, we thank you that we can cast our cares on you, all of us, Father God. We came in this building and there's something we're concerned about in our life. But Father, we're taking it and throwing it as far as we can. We're casting it onto you, Father God, because we know that you actually care for us. And Lord, you will deliver us from this situation. You will protect and guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory and honor. Now help us to go out of here and not let ourselves get trapped in fear again, Father God. Everything's going to work out all right. I prophesy to you today because of the promises of God that everything's going to work all right in your situation. I know that some of you have very grievous and heavy situations. Everything is going to be all right in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Let's take a time to worship.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.